the Sunday School Answers Podcast.
The perfect podcast for imperfect Christians. The world is hurtling towards destruction.
Might as well pass the time with a card game.
Welcome to the Sunday School Answers Podcast, the perfect podcast for imperfect Christians. In 2017, Michael Mordenga created Sunday School Answers, the first family-friendly Christian alternative to Cards Against Humanity, which was passed on to myself and my ministry partner, Mo, in 2021. Since then, we have redesigned and re-released the original core game and followed it up with 13 expansion decks and booster packs, with lots more still on the way. And with all these expansions coming out, we're always looking out for new card ideas, and this podcast will be helping us with that, as me and my friends delve into news, politics, and pop culture in search of dilemmas and answers to add to future releases. This show is going to be laid back and heavily opinionated. Our goal is not to offend anyone or try to prove ourselves right. And frankly, many of my guests might have differing opinions on things than I do. But mainly, we are hoping to have a little fun poking at absurdity in our world. Now, as I record, people are welcome to jump in at any time and share their thoughts, so you might have someone else join in the middle of this whole thing. But already waiting to chime in are a couple of my buddies. Go ahead and introduce yourself and share a fun fact about you.
Hi, I am Lark, also known as Rachel, also known to the folks who hang out in the LTN Twitch communities as Stream Mom. And fun fact about me is I know how to make balloon animals.
I am Hillary, known online as KY Redhead, and I homeschool three boys who are named after book characters.
Nice. All right, so we are going to be, we got four news stories here we're going to talk about. So they range from semi-serious to just nuts. and what we're going to be doing is we're going to be pulling out a dilemma card idea from the first one and then answer card ideas from the other three. And then at the end, we're going to vote on which is the funniest combination. So it's like a single hand, let's say, of this game. So story number
one.
I've
never played.
But you've seen it played.
I own it. I need to play it. No, I just don't have people to play with.
So our first story, we're going to jump right in with politics. Who's ready?
Oh, boy.
Who's ready for Trump versus Hillary round two?
Oh, no.
I have very strong feelings about that for personal reasons.
Now, we don't have to get super partisan or anything here, but there's an opinion column from the Boston Herald called Hillary Clinton Just Won't Go Away. Could a 2024 run be looming? Apparently, since both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's approval ratings are super low, and Joe Biden has already danced around the issue on whether or not he's going to have a run for his second term.
Bless his heart.
There are some Wall Street Journal folk who are speculating that this would be a perfect storm for the party to once again nominate Hillary Clinton, who is at this point 74 and is a relative spring chicken by Joe Biden standards. And she also has recently had her I don't remember if it was a masterclass or if it was a TED Talk of some kind or something that she basically read her acceptance speech for 2016.
Wow.
As if it were come to pass. So I'm not going to read this whole article because it's lengthy and it's mostly an opinion. But the idea, of course, Donald Trump has also all but declared that he is running again. He's had several interviews where he's pretty much said it without saying it. I remember when the first round of this was ramping up, and Mo and I were talking about it on the Back Row Baptist podcast. It was long before radio station or the morning show or anything, and it felt like Clown World. That these were the two people. But I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you think our country could handle another one of these?
Okay, time for me to make everyone feel old. So in the 2016 election, I was 17, and I was backstage at the production of Our Town at my high school, and I still remember that stinking election. Like, a few of my classmates were old enough to vote, and we all just watching it. And I was like, well, when I was little, I was annoyed that I was going to be 17 in an election. And now I'm looking at this election and being like, dear goodness, I'm glad this isn't my first election. And just right. No, don't make me make that stinking choice that I was glad I didn't have to make, like, however many years ago it is now. The 2020 election was a hard enough decision. Don't make me. No.
Yeah. No. I remember the that first time thinking that, or saying that, that was the definition of trying to choose the lesser of two evils.
Yes.
Like, oh, it is, my gosh. That had never been more true in any election.
As someone who has studied American history, it has been more true. But
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Absolutely.
My favorite meme that went with it, though, was choosing between Dolores Umbridge and who's the guy played by Kenneth Branagh? Oh, my gosh.
Him.
Oh my gosh, what's his name?
Gilderoy Lockhart.
Gilderoy Lockhart. So it's Gilderoy Lockhart versus Dolores Umbridge, and I was like, that's it right there. Like, that's how I feel. So here's my hot take. It has nothing to do with politics, but I had trauma the entire election cycle because I would just be sitting at the coffee shop or shopping or whatever, minding my business, and I would hear Hillary, like, and I would jump every time, and I would yes, because it's my name, and I would turn, because they didn't call her Clinton, they called her Hillary, and so which of course was her branding, but I had jump scares constantly because of the tone complete strangers were using to blare out my name. So it'd be like, you know, talk Hillary, and I would jump and turn around and think people were talking to me for a long time, and then of course I got used to the fact that they weren't addressing me, they were discussing politics, whatever way. And so, but it was a constant thing the entire election cycle. And I was so relieved when it was over, just because it was traumatic. Like, I kept having these adrenaline surges. And so I really hope she doesn't run again personally for multiple reasons, but that is one very personal reason. The jump scare reason is my platform against her running again. That I don't think people can argue with at this point, because assuming, it's very valid.
Assuming she wins, too, that'll be the worst 4 to 8 years of your life.
So there we go.
If she gets elected, it's similar to what happened when we had like multiple Bushes, when we've had multiple Roosevelts.
Right.
You can't call her Clinton.
Right.
Because there's been a Clinton president. So it's like we had George W. Bush versus George H.W. Bush, or just George Bush, depending on who you talk to. Yeah. We had Teddy Roosevelt, then we had FDR. And so it's the whole...
Yeah, it'll be Hillary.
It's going to be Hillary, because we can't call her Clinton because we've had a Clinton. It's like if it was any other woman running for the presidency, it wouldn't be the, oh, it's a woman, we're using the first name. No, it's because her husband's been president before.
It's like Corona... beer having all the negative influences on its brand because of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no way to escape it. You'll have to.
I mean,
people will automatically dislike you just because
this
you
share. This could be what we get the card from. We could get the card from like sharing a name with a major figure.
Oh gosh, that's funny. Okay,
So there we go. Something about that, like identity.
That's a way to make it less political. Mistaken identity. Also make it hilarious. But like, you're constantly.
See, there's my name again, right there.
Hilarious.
Okay, that's
a better from it.
That's a boner. That's a better connotation. All right, so that's going to bring us to our dilemma card. Our dilemma card for the night is, who I vote for in the next presidential election is really going to come down to their opinion of blank. So the blank is what we're going to be filling with these next three stories. We're going to have three different possible answers. So let's get into some goofy ones here. The second story I've got is, do you know who invented the burrito, ladies?
I don't, but we also just need a new person who needs to introduce themselves.
Oh, hey, someone is in the chat.
What's up?
Introduce yourself and share a fun fact about yourself.
My name is Toffee, or Topher, right?
Yeah, yes, that's your name, yeah.
I think that's my name. I think that's my name.
5 points for Ravenclaw.
I am Moe's son. That's my fun fact.
Moe's son. All right.
This is the one who died from a hot chip.
Oh, yes, I did that. And I beat Radio Matt at it.
So. I mean, just barely.
So no, there was no point in me going.
Did you hear what our dilemma card is for the night?
I have no clue.
Okay, so we're going to be reading three more news stories and we're going to be coming up with answer cards. But our dilemma card for tonight is who I vote for in the next presidential election is really going to come down to their opinion of blank. All right, so we'll go through that again as we go on. But here's our next story. So this is, I asked who invented the burrito, and none of you knew off the top of your hand. And obviously, it was Kim Jong-un, the father of, Kim Jong-il, the father of Kim Jong-un, the current dictator of North Korea. Who doesn't love burritos? We're pretty sure everyone does, but not to the extent of claiming to invent the delicious dish. In case you were wondering what we're talking about, a bizarre claim has been made by North Korea that Kim Jong-un's late father, Kim Jong-il, invented burritos in 2011. North Korea's propaganda mouthpiece, Rodong Simnoon, shared a report claiming that Kim Jong-il had invented burritos, which they called wheat wraps, in 2011 before he died. The story also mentions late Kim Jong-il inventing double bread with meat, a dish quite similar to a hamburger. Rodong Simnoon has also claimed that Kim Jong-un had been taking a great interest in the dish like his father in a state TV news footage. North Koreans can be seen eating burritos outside the Kamsung Food Factory at a stand in Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea. Photographs of the late dictator touring a kitchen with sunglasses and smiling with cooks while the burritos were being made were also shown in the footage. However, the reality is far from what's shown in the state TV news footage. According to people who have escaped North Korea, a large section of the country's citizens can't even dream of having such a proper meal. Hyun Seung Lee, who was born in an elite Korean family, escaped from the country in 2014. He told The Sun that most citizens barely have money to buy foreign food. He added that bread and butter were even criticized as socialist traitors by the dictator in the 90s. When asked about burritos, Lee revealed that even the ingredients required to make the dish are not available in North Korea. He's not even seen any restaurant where you can eat burritos. Rowan Beard, who works as a guide with Young Pioneer Tours that primarily organizes North Korean trips, told The Sun that he's not seen any dish called wheat wraps in Pyongyang. The original burritos is still not clear, but the origin of burritos is still not clear, but the word was that it was coined in 1895.
Cool.
So,
I mean,
that was a lot of
that's a lot of story. This one comes from news18.com. How do you get to the point where you have the audacity to say, oh, yeah, my dad invented burritos in 2011.
Yeah. Who I vote for? I'm going to vote for the inventor of burritos.
And also the hamburger.
I'll vote for their kid.
My dad invented the burrito and the hamburger.
Whoever invented both the hamburger and the burrito. That just makes me think of Barney Cooper Smith, inventor of the rotary engine. I don't know if anybody's seen that movie. Probably not.
Remind me of the movie.
My Blue Heaven.
Yes.
Steve Martin and Rick Moranis. Man, we quote that all the time.
Yeah. I recognize
that. Yeah, he introduced him to his family as Barney Cooper Smith, inventor of the rotary engine. So I'm like, oh, so now we've got Kim Jong-il, inventor of the burrito and the hamburger.
And the rotary engine.
Whoever invented the most fast food items, that's who I will vote for. How many do you have? Do you have three? Then I'll vote for you over King John Mill. King John, I can't talk, y'all. It's 9 o'clock here. I'm so tired.
Oh, man. So the answer card that we're pulling out of this one is Kim Jong-il's wheat wraps. That's what we will be moving forward for that.
Oh, boy.
Story number three. Oh, gosh. So I've seen some really weird weddings before. Some have married like their house. Some have married their horse. You know, some
okay,
weird.
Okay, I promise my wedding's not going to be that weird.
But I have never seen someone marry a color before.
What?
I suddenly want to do this.
For many people, January 1st means new beginnings and new resolutions. But for Kitten K. Sarah, January 1st will forever be her historic wedding anniversary. She told Cleveland19.com that she's marrying the color pink. The wedding ceremony at noon on Saturday, Sarah was the first person to marry a color. She brought a giant pink swatch, like a pink paint swatch, of like five different versions of pink, and that she held up as her groom or her significant other. I don't even know if you could call it a groom, partner in this relationship. She said she's had a relationship with the color pink for more than 40 years. The idea to tie the knot with the color came 2 years ago when a kid skateboarding was poking fun at her for wearing pink. A kid said to me on a skateboard, "Wow, you love pink, right?" She said, "Yeah, I love it so much." And he goes, "If you love it so much, why don't you marry it?" And she said, "This kid's on to something."
Oh, no. Now, don't course, listen to the kid who sassed you.
This is really just like a goofy thing that they were doing for, you know, giggles in Las Vegas. It's not a serious, like, I'm actually, like, you know, the person that was marrying their house, they legitimately claimed they were really marrying their house. And that was, that's weird to think about. But but this
so
was
marrying
just for,
pink, does that make it a warm relationship?
If you had to marry a color, guys, what color would you marry?
Green.
Teal.
Purple.
That's hard for me. I guess yellow would be mine.
Yellow isn't your Among Us color, Matt. You're supposed to pick red.
I understand, but yellow is my favorite color, which I don't like that it's my favorite color, but it is. I can't. No, she took my color, so. Actually, the only reason, here's the real reason I picked red in Among Us and it stuck, is because I wanted to wear headphones and the headphones were red and it looked best on the red character. And so that's the reason why I picked red.
I thought it was because bloodstains are hard to wash out.
So our second answer card for the night, French kissing a paint swatch. That's our second answer card.
Wow.
As opposed to not
sure.
Lame.
I know what a paint swatch is. Let me
look. It's like you, the little card that's got the...
You need the stuff you steal from Lowe's to make crafts out of.
Yeah, that thing at Lowe's has got all the different shades of that particular color you can take home and like compare them.
It's like that little rectangle that has paint on it.
Yeah. I'm grabbing a picture real quick.
All right, last story. The milk is still probably fine. There is a supermarket chain in the UK that is deciding to scrap its use-by dates on most of its milk in a move it says will stop millions of pints being poured down the sink. So this comes from BBC.com. The retailer will instead place a best-before date on 90% of its own brand milk and encourage customers to use a sniff test to check quality. Before I even read any more of this, have you ever been able to sniff test milk?
Because it's really bad.
I no matter when I smell it, it smells awful. It could have two more weeks.
Because of the dried stuff around the cap.
Is that why?
It is, like where you screw on the cap and the treads around the mouth of the milk dries there, like from spills from when you pour, and it dries around the edge, so the edge always smells bad. You have to pour some into a separate container to smell.
Oh my goodness, you're changing my life.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah,
this is
for
what this
real.
Podcast is for. It's life lessons with Matt.
I mean, it's like, I've always lived by that Jerry Seinfeld joke of, is it good? I don't know. I smelled it. You smelled it. What did it smell like? It smelled like milk to me. Yeah, I mean, it's
Matthew,
that's hilarious.
Make me despair.
So, recycling charity Wrap. I don't know what this is. Recycling charity Wrap said Morrison's was the first supermarket to make the move, which starts later this month. Ian Good, senior milk buyer at Morrison's. That's a title. Senior milk buyer. That's what he has on his name tag. Said it was a bold step. Milk is the third most wasted food and drink product in the UK after potatoes and bread, with around 490 million pints wasted every year, according to Wrap. It also estimates 85 million pints of milk waste may be due to customers following use-by labels, despite research showing it can be used at least a few days after the date. Morrison believed the move could save 7 million pints of its own brand milk being poured away every year. But let me skip down here. The Food Standards Agency, the UK version of our Food and Drug Administration, said that it's all right to have a use by or a best before on milk, depending on the processing and the type, but there must be a clear labeling and that dates printed on the food must be based on robust evidence about the product concerned. The FSA pointed out that when dealing with food, generally sniffing is not an appropriate safety test, especially with products that could cause food poisoning. Do you trust milk dates? Do you trust dates in general on food?
Normally,
because like I learned just I think last year that most like use by dates on meat are also like a few days ahead of really how far you can.
Yeah, use no, it. I'll use milk up to like a week after its date as long as it doesn't smell bad.
Oh, heck
and
no.
Eggs, I do the float test.
Milk, I don't even do the day of.
we never get that far because we have three children and we never
I
get
used to
that
buy
point.
Milk for just myself last year, and so I would have the issue with it potentially going bad. This semester, all three of us who live here share the milk, so it doesn't have time to go bad, and it's good.
Yeah.
Toffee, I know you eat pizza that's been left out all night on the counter the next day. Because that's what your mom said. Do you care about food dates, best by dates, use by dates?
Most best by dates. A few that I'll be like, nah, this is still good. It may just be a bit hard, but it's still good.
Yeah, I guess like stale products, as long as there's no mold on them.
yeah, exactly. Like if they're
microwave it with some water, it'll be fine.
Like sealed packaging, and it's just stale, I mean, it's not bad.
All right, well, that's going to bring us to our third card of the night, which is drinking chunky expired milk because I love the planet. Yeah, the wasted milk.
Sounds delightful.
The wasted milk means wasted
chunks,
effort.
No.
Wasted milk chunks, means wasted no. effort by our farmers and unnecessary carbon being released into the atmosphere. So that's
chunks
the main driver.
Chunks or no. Chunks or no. We do not drink chunky milk.
It's just chewy sour milk. It's good.
Chewy mom good says no.
All right, so let's
chewy
read.
Mom says no.
Let's read all of those card options again and vote for our favorite answer for the show. So I'm going to read them all with our dilemma card for the night. Who I vote for in the next presidential election is really going to come down to their opinion of Kim Jong-il's wheat wraps. Who I vote for in the next presidential election is really going to come down to their opinion of French kissing a paint swatch. And who I vote for in the next presidential election is really going to come down to their opinion of drinking chunky expired milk because I love the planet.
Paint
the
swatch
third one,
could actually
because if
be
you
relevant.
Drink the stupid expired milk, I'm not voting for you.
So that's one for paint swatch, one for milk. Toffee? What's your favorite?
Yeah, I gotta go with paint swatch.
Paint swatch. I like the paint swatch too. I think that's
paint
my favorite.
Paint swatch is my favorite. I just would vote based on the stupid milk because if you drink the milk, I don't trust you.
I mean, sure. So you're going by it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go by hilarity. Sometimes I go by sense. And the
mood. Well, that is the whole show. That's the show for today. All these cards will be added to a future expansion of Sunday School Answers. You can start your game collection right now by going to backrowgames.com and picking up the core deck and any expansions you fancy. Thank you again to Hillary and Rachel, which I don't like saying Rachel, but Lark, whatever your name is, and Toffee and Topher.
Rachel.
I just don't. I don't feel comfortable. Toffee and Topher, both him and them. And in our chat here, as we're wrapping up, Toffee posted the exact specific purple that he would marry, and someone who has not been listening in and has no idea what he's talking about, our friend Thray, says good luck with the marriage license. Yeah.
It
makes sense in context. Does it though? Does it really?
In context, his comment made sense.
I am
it
Radio.
Wasn't good, but it made sense.
I'm Radio Matt. God bless, and we will see you again next time, assuming the world hasn't ended by then.
Go to backrowgames.com to get your copy of Sunday School Answers,
a game for people who need Jesus
badly.